The title of my sermon this morning is, Anyone Need Good News? If you kind of get a hint now, the children's corners are kind of an illustration of what we're going to do in the message. But anyone need good news? I think we all need good news this morning. I'm tired of watching the TV. I'm tired of hearing indictments. I'm tired of hearing about war. I'm tired of hearing about... You need some good news. Okay? And I'm tired of people asking me surveys. Saying, do you think everything's good? I tell them exactly what I think. Most of the time I just turn the surveys off. But people are trying to justify themselves. But you know what? Everybody needs good news. And we need to look at what Isaiah had, because Isaiah's prophecies of Christ. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. But before we open God's word and read it, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to hear your good news. Father, I just ask that you just be with the reading of your word, the preaching of it, Lord, that we will see its truth, Lord, it will change our life. Father, I ask that you bind Satan on our behalf. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will have full reign here today. Father, I pray that this will change our lives, Lord, and help us look at the good news of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you just help those, Lord, that are struggling today. Father, you have good news. You can cure that problem. And Lord, I just ask that you just help us today, Lord. Leave here changed, more like you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 61, and last year we went through the book of Isaiah, in a very familiar passage, a spirit of the Lord, God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In a way of introduction, you know, sometimes, especially in this world today, you have to go looking for good news. The bad news is all around us, but the source of good news is God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights. Bad news is like a cloud. It's like the middle of the night. It's like when you have despair and you have discouragement and all those things close in around you. But good news comes from light. It gives us encouragement. It says, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What we see here in verse 1 of our passage this morning is it's talking about Christ. It's talking about the servant Messiah. And in verse 1, we see what he does. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The me that is here is about Christ. And as we close the message this morning, I will give you the example of why it is Christ. In Psalm chapter 68, verses 1, 18 through 19, Paul uses it and quotes it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, thou hast ascended on high. I am glad that Jesus Christ has ascended on high. I'm glad that he rose from the dead and he sits on the right hand of God. I am glad that he is our advocate. I am glad that he is the mediator between God and man. I'm glad that he gives us all this. I'm glad he's my creator. I'm glad he's the source of all grace and all mercy. Thou hast ascended up on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for who? For us. For men. For the rebellious also. God's gifts are without repentance. He reigns on the just and the unjust, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily, what? Loadeth us with benefits. Today in the world, it's hard to find good news. There is so much more bad news than good news, and you see a thimbleful of good news to a bucketful of bad news. But look at what happens here. He says, he has daily what? Loaded. Everything about God is abundant, especially with his good news. Loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. So if you want good news, you have to go look for it. If you want good news, you need to look to the source. If you're looking for bad news, I guarantee you will find it. But people today need to find good news. Anyone need good news? I think everyone in here today would say, I need some good news today. Let's come to the source today. Amen. Let's come to the source. And we need to understand that the Savior is good news. And we all need to be the seeker of good news. In Psalm chapter 63, verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We talked about as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is what? Good news from a far country. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 5. So we see here the source of good news is God. Everybody wants to find good in everything else. But you're not going to find good except God's in it. Okay? And then the representation, the manifestation of God's good is the Savior. It's the Savior. And we need to be seekers. We need to go to the source. We need to go to the Savior to find this. So this morning I want to share three things for each of these verses here this morning. Three main points from each verse. And the first thing is in verse 1. The content of the good news. The content of the good news. The first thing is about this, is that it's available to all who want to hear. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news unto the what? Meek. See, a lot of people sense good news, but they ignore it because they want to go on their own way. You can't understand the good news unless you have a humble spirit. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth. God is meek. Moses was meek. All the examples about a believer needs to be one who's meek. You know why? So we can listen. So we can see the good news. So we can see the Savior work. It's attainable to all who take the message to heart. The other day, I got a spam call. They said, congratulations, you won the publisher's clearinghouse. I said, no, I didn't. And I hung up on them. Because the issue is, good news has to be sensible. I never entered into something. The only thing that gives me, the only one who gives me things that I don't deserve is God. And so, it's attainable to all who take the message to heart. We've used this passage a couple of times in the past here. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 1 and 2. The Jews had the good news. The Jews saw the good news. The Jews had the Old Testament and all the prophecies. The Jews had this concept of rest, that God wanted them to go on the rest. And he says here, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says in Hebrews 4, 1 through 2, he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. See, it's one thing to hear good news. It's another thing to act on it. It's another thing to assimilate it. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know what sent Christ to the cross? sin did. You know what the author of sin is? Pride. Those religious leaders were never going to listen to Christ because they wanted it their way. The Romans wanted it their way. Folks, we need to understand that pride and sin have I in the middle. And we need to understand that we should be looking for good news and not trying to make it on our own. So the content of the good news here in this verse is it's available to all who want to hear it. It's attainable who take the message to heart. If you leave here today saying, I don't care, I don't want to do it, that's exactly what's going to happen. Nothing will change in your life. Nothing will change in your life. But see, there are actions of the good news. Remember when we were kids and we went out, we scraped our knee or we cut our finger or we sprained something and we went in and we yelled to mommy and daddy, said, I have an owie. I have an owie. And what did mom do? Mom kissed it, blew on it, whatever the case may be, cleansed it up, and then put a Band-Aid on. The action of the good news is to bind up the brokenhearted. It's to bandage the broken in heart. Folks, when you look to God, God will never let you down. But how many of us have been let down by someone or something? And it breaks our heart. We trusted someone and they let us down. We trusted in something and it let us down. You know, you might have a broken relationship. You might have someone estranged in your family and it breaks your heart. God has good news. God sent Christ His Son to bind that heart, to put salve in it, to put it back together. Now, the sign out there looks okay, but let me tell you a secret. We kind of broke it. There's a stone facade. There's a stone thing on the outside of it. And the bucket of the forklift kind of got in between the stone and the flab, and it kind of cracked that. So how we kept it all together is we took a strap and we wrapped it around the stone and then moved it to its last place and then actually brought it, kind of pushed it back together. So if anyone knows any masonry work, I got a job for you. Okay. But you know, that's the issue about binding, is to take all the broken pieces and put them back together again so they won't fall apart. And that's what God does with us. That's what Jesus does in our life. He can bind the broken part, the broken heart. He can take all those pieces that have been destroyed and put them all back together. In Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So the issue is this content is available to all who will hear. It's attainable to all who will take the message to heart. And this is what God wants to do in your life. He wants to bind up your wounded heart. He wants to bind up the broken pieces and put them all back together again. You know, when you have a piece of china, your favorite china, and it breaks and you kind of glue it back together, you still see the crack. There are still cracks in our heart, but it's still there. God has healed that. So the first action is to bandage the broken in heart. The second one is to proclaim liberty to the captives. Basically, it's to provide release to the repentant. Release to the repentant. This word for to proclaim liberty is the concept of the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, everything was supposed to be reset. All debts reset, all land grants reset. Everybody's supposed to go back to their inheritance. And it was all cleared up before. And if you were in debt, it was all gone. That's the whole concept of this issue of liberty. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says we're supposed to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Christ said this, he says, "And whom the Son of Man sets free, he is what? Free indeed." But what we need to understand is this release to those that are in captivity. You have to do something about it. There are so many people that I know now that are living in captivity. They're living in addiction, or they're living in some sort of actual incarceration. And they want God to heal their consequence. No, God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. God wants to take and bind up the brokenhearted and make your heart whole again. Take out the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. One that's soft, one that's pliable, one that can be used. But the issue is people just want God to fix their circumstances instead of fixing them. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 through 26, we see this. It says, "In meekness," once again, how do you hear the message? You need to be humble. Paul says, look, Timothy, you need to be meek. You need to do this. It says, "Instructing them that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may what? Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." God is not going to yank you out of the sin that you want to live in. God will yank you out of the sin that you want to get rid of. God will yank you out of what you want to repent and that you're sorry for that. God will yank you out if you want to be changed. If you want to take the message to heart. Who are what? Taken captive by Him at His will. You know, it breaks my heart that you give counsel to people. And you say, if you want God to do this, you need to do this. And then they don't do it. And then they call back and they say, why doesn't God do this? And I say, it's because you don't do what God says to do. Amen. You want to stay in your captivity and not come out of it. That's why people are bound in sin. That's why we're heavy laden. Because people don't want to get out of it. But there's good news. Christ says, if you repent of that, I'll give you release. You'll have right standing with me. There'll be some consequences that you'll have to... There'll be some cracks in your heart, but it'll be back together again. And that's the good news. God can fix whatever problem you're in right now because He's God. But you want to get out of the problem from down here, not up here. And so the actions of the good news is to bandage the broken in heart. It's to release, it's for release to proclaim, to get rid of all that debt and all those loans and get rid of all of it and set you back to the inheritance that He prepared for you. Release to the repentant. Then lastly here, it says, "And the opening of the prison to them that are bound." It's opportunities for the oppressed. When Christ talks about this in Luke chapter 4, it's just not talking about those that that are bound. Talk about bruised. About being bruised. This concept of being in prison is being in a dark place. Dark place. When Jeremiah was put into the prison, he was in a dark place. He just saw light up above him. And he was down in the mire, sinking in the mess that's down there. Prisons don't have windows. Prisons have bars. And it's a dark place. It's a dark place. It could be a dark place physically. It could be a dark place emotionally. It could be a dark place spiritually. But see, He wants to give the opening of the prison to them that are bound. It's opportunity for the oppressed. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, But now are ye light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in not all what? Goodness and righteousness and truth. So the content of the good news is, first of all, it's available for all who want to hear. It's even for those who don't hear, the word is still there. But it's attainable to all those who want to take that message to heart, to mix it with faith. And the three things that it can do is it can take all the brokenness of your heart and fix it, and to bind it up, and to make it one again. It's to take the things that Satan has led you captive in and free you from that. And it's to give you opportunity to get out of the darkness of sin and this evil world and walk as children of light. You know, Christ told the people, He said, "Let your light shine before men, that ye may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we see here the content of the good news. In verse 2, we see the comfort of the good news. Now, this word is just to proclaim. Better translated as to know. God wants you to know. As far as salvation, "These things have I written on you, that ye may," what? "Know that ye have eternal life." But here it says, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." It's to know God's favor. To be acceptable is to understand that you have the goodwill of God. You have the favor of God. And it's not just talking about a physical year. It's talking about an age or a period of time. See, the comfort of the good news, if you hear it, if you apply the message to heart, if you allow its action to occur in your life, you'll get verse 2. Then you will understand and you will know God's favor. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, "For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." See, if you want God to work in your life, you need to know Him. You need to know Him. And so the first thing is to proclaim or to know the acceptable year of the Lord, or to understand God's goodwill and His favor at this time. The second one is to, and the day, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. You know, it is a comfort when you know that you're not going to have to go through a negative consequence. When we were kids and we thought we were going to get punished, we waited all day long. See that? And all of a sudden dad comes home or mom comes home and said, "No, I'm going to give you grace. Don't do it again." And you go, "Ah." That's comfort, isn't it? The comfort of the good news is to know God's favor, but also know what you're going to be missing. See, our judgment was put on Christ on the cross. We don't have to go through that judgment anymore. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. This is encouragement to us. "For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." You get comfort in what you know is coming. You get comfort in knowing that you're going to miss some things too. You're going to miss God's judgment. And then the last thing is to comfort all that mourn. This word for mourn is to be in total distress or calamity. To be in a situation where you cannot get out of. And so the last point of the comfort of good news is to know calm in times of calamity. It's no calm. It says to give what? To comfort. or to give consolation or to give encouragement to those who mourn. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your what? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, I know people that the least bit of trouble sets them off. But I know people who have this mountain of things on their life have peace. What's the difference? It's a difference of trusting. It's a difference of knowing. It's the difference of knowing that He will never leave us or forsaking. It's a difference of knowing that my Heavenly Father knows I have all need. I have need for all these things. So in verse 2, we see the comfort of the good news. To know God's favor. To know what you're missing in God by not going through God's judgment. To know calm in calamity. And lastly, there should be a change from the good news. There should be a change from the good news. It says, to point unto them that mourn in Zion. So Christ has come here to fix your problems. The first thing is to fix our sin problem, to fix our destiny problem, to fix our eternity problem. Because without Christ, it's bleak, it's dark, it's hell. And it says here, to appoint unto them, to give unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. It's the appearance of worth. The word for ashes here to mean worthlessness. There's a lot of people today that feel absolutely worthless. They feel that no one cares. They feel they can't be used. This issue for beauty, it's actually comes from the word for bonnet. And the first time it's used is in the book of Exodus when they're talking about making the bonnets for the priest. And in Exodus chapter 20, 39 verse 28, it says, "And a mitre of fine linen and goodly bonnets." So that's this beauty thing. It's to show that even in the darkest times, God still gives you beauty. Bonnets of fine linen and linen breeches of fine twine linen. See, the priests were supposed to stand out. They had unique clothing. And folks, God wants to make you stand out. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to take you out of the calamity and give you the appearance of worth. What did He say? He says, you're worth more than many sparrows. Well, I'm glad for that. But God loved me so much that He died on the cross because He loved my soul. And He said that I have worth. The second thing here is to give them the oil of joy for mourning. This issue is a aroma of life. Now, you've heard of aromatherapy. You know, we have all sorts of fragrance things in our house to cover up. Now they come up with this stuff called poof that's supposed to get rid of it all. But the issue is this. We live without God, we're living in a sense of death. We're living in a sense of rightness. And so God wants to take that. He wants to change all those dead things in our life and bring us to life. He's quickened us. He's quickened us. In Psalm 45, verse 8, it says, "By all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia." The issue of the smell is the issue of oil of joy. You know, that's the essence of the fragrance, is the oil inside of a plant. It says, "Out of the ivory palace whereby they have made thee glad." So the oil of joy for mourning. Once again, this mourning is the same word up there about calamity in verse 2. The third thing is it gives us the attire of salvation. It says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The issue for garment here is to be a mantle. A mantle is like a robe. It's an outer garment. And he says, I want to give you something that gives you a different look. A different look. And Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Same word for garment. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, Christ writes, he says, to he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. See, God wants to change the way you look. God wants to change the way you smell. You smell of life or you smell of death. God wants to change the issue of, do you feel worthless or do you feel worthy to serve God? So he gives the attire of salvation. And the last point is that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's the affirmation of God's work. Christian, why do we take salvation and we want salvation, but we don't look like we're saved? We don't appear to other people to be any different. We still have the same hang-ups. We still have the same habits. We still have the same actions. And we live in defeat. And all we think is bad, and there's actually good out there because we know God. See, God wants to change us. It's the affirmation of God's work. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21, it says, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Let God work in your life. He wants to change us. He wants to give us the appearance of worth, that other people know that I have a God in heaven that cares about me. You know, that's how you feel worthy, when you know that someone cares about you. To change the smell of my life from the stinky part of the world to things that are present in the temple. To give me the attire, the clothing of salvation, to cover me with his mantle. To show that I have my name written in the book of life. To bring affirmation that God is working in my life. Because if there's no change, then how can you convince other people that you know God? This good news is for you. And it's fulfilled in Jesus. I'll close with this, what happened. Jesus starts his earthly ministry. He gets baptized by John the Baptist. He goes out in the wilderness for 40 days. It says in Luke chapter 4, he says, and he came in the power of the Spirit to the temple. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 20, it says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. These things cannot happen in your life until you turn your eyes upon Jesus and you accept him as your Savior and you allow him to do these things in your life. This good news is for you and is fulfilled in Jesus. Do you know Him as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven, or you say you're still working on that? If you say you're still working on it, you're not going. See, Christ closed the book. It was finished. On the cross, He said, "It is finished." And He's done everything necessary to give us the content of the good news, to give us the comfort of the good news, and to make us change because of the good news. Have you changed your life today? Christian, how's it going in your life? Are we wrapped up in all these things that God wants to deliver us from? Let Him deliver you today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to come to Your house. Father, we ask for Your deliverance today, Lord. We ask for Your deliverance from sin for salvation. We ask for Your deliverance from all these things, Lord, that we would follow You with all our heart. Help us, Lord, today to follow You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.